You're listening to an episode of Classic Movies Live, the pre-recorded show where we talk about movies that have been remade. And today, the movie that we're going to be talking about is Speak No Evil. Now, for our American viewers, I hear that you are very familiar with this movie. This just came out in theaters probably a few weeks ago at this point. And it is a movie starring James McAvoy, and it is based on a 2022 Danish film of the same name. This is pretty interesting. It's very rare that we get a movie that's remade so quickly. And is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? I'm going to be value neutral on that because that is the first thing that we discuss in this episode. We're going to actually talk about both the Danish and the English, or the Danish version and the American version of this movie. We have somewhat conflicting thoughts on it, but I thought it was very interesting. And I think that that is a good way to talk about these movies, is to talk about sort of how they sort of play with the themes of each other. We've actually talked about a few movies that are made and remade beforehand. Specifically, this is going to reference one of our very old episodes we did, where we talked, well, two of our old episodes we did, where we talked about Infernal Affairs and then talked about, what was it called? The Departed. We talked about both of those a while back, and we're coming back to that. Actually, those are a very interesting lens through which to view this movie. And now that I'm talking about it more, this should have been a do-do-over episode. We've only got one of those, but we'll do another one at some point. Maybe we'll do it over. Anyway, I'm going to give you guys a small taste of the soundtrack to Speak No Evil, and then you are going to hear our conversation about it. It is mostly spoiler-free, though we do ultimately end up talking a little bit about the end, shockingly with very few spoilers, but I think we're pretty conscious of it. There's no formal spoiler warning. We do sort of start indicating when we're about to talk about spoilers. Anyway, here's a little bit of the soundtrack to Speak No Evil. Welcome back to yet another episode of Classic Movies Live, the pre-recorded show where we talk about remakes and sequels and reboots. But today we're talking about a remake of a movie that came out in 2022. We're talking about Speak No Evil, which just came out from director James Watkins, featuring James McAvoy. And this is a remake of a Danish movie that premiered at Sundance in 2022. So if it got, and I don't know what kind of release it got in the States and in Canada, but if it got any kind of release, that was like 2 years, that was less than 2 years ago. I don't think I've seen another movie get remade that fast, which we'll talk about later. But like, you know, have you ever seen another movie get remade that fast, Pierre?
No, the first one that comes to mind is the Moana live action remake, which isn't out yet, but
yeah, but that's
that
also
feels
like,
fast, but it's also going to be like about fast. 10 years. Yeah.
It's actually kind of crazy that that's 10 years. Cause like, I don't know, there's always memes of like, this was 10 years ago. Feel old yet? And like, I never do. I mean, I always feel old, but I never feel old because something was 10 years ago. But then like the Moana remake, I'm like, this is way too quick, which I mean, when you think about it, there's other things that get remade way quicker than that. This obviously is an example, but like, I think I have seen remakes like 2 or 4 or 5 years apart. Not very many of them, but it does happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Again, I can't really think of anything off the top of my head.
Well, I mean,
I guess there's probably a lot of ones that are originally like foreign movies that become American films as well, I want to say.
Yeah, the main one I can think of is The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, which I think had like 3 or 4 years between adaptations.
Yeah. Oh, wait, what about The Ring? Let me check.
That was
done pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that one. Which I guess is like a running theme. It's like you've got these cool foreign movies, and instead of promoting them in the States, they're just gonna just remake them instead.
Right, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't necessarily want to say that's bad on principle because there's a couple of different principles at play there, and one of them is like if someone has a cool story and someone else wants to do something interesting with that story, that's not an inherently bad thing. But
Yeah.
also like in a lot of cases, it is just a movie that did really, really well everywhere but the States, and then all of a sudden, Chris Rock gets the rights, and he's like, "We're gonna make this a movie in the States now, though." And it's like, I don't know if it
Sorry, for
just
which
make.
movie?
Well, the movie I'm specifically talking about is Another Round,
Oh,
which is
okay.
like a Danish movie about European drinking culture,
Right.
and
I remember you said that was your favorite movie of 2020, right?
I think it was, yeah. And then like it immediately got optioned by I don't remember who in the States, and now Chris Rock is directing a remake, an American remake, which like
Chris Rock is directing it. Interesting.
I'm never rooting for movie. I'm very rarely, and I actually can't think of an example where I'm rooting for movies to fail, 'cause I'm always at least interested, but like it's a movie that is so specific about, it's about such a specific quirk of Central European culture, which I mean, drinking, but like we drink over here too. That's not the quirk. It's just that like the way that drinking culture is in Central Europe is so alien to American and like to America. And so like making an American remake, you kind of have to change the whole point of the movie. Which might work, but also just like seems unnecessary.
I mean, I guess I think I mean, first of all, if I'm a Hollywood studio executive, I would not complain about this because I would see a guaranteed critical and probably commercial success. You're literally bringing a proven movie to American audiences.
But does that translate to commercial success? Because like something we're still talking about Another Round, right?
Well, I just any remake.
Fair enough. But like if the point of bringing Another Round or Speak No Evil to the States is to do an American remake, are people gonna go based on the name alone? Like I'm not gonna
No, I don't think
say
so.
yeah, so I don't know if that's a draw. It doesn't mean
No.
it's not bad. It's not like a hindrance, but like when people are going to see Speak No Evil, are they going to see Speak No Evil because they're like, oh, I remember the Danish movie. I will go and see the American one. Because I don't think so.
No, I think it's more like you can literally just repeat like a big part of marketing movies is the marketing aspect. Like they spend some movies it's the like they spend just as much on the marketing as the movie itself. So you want to make sure those marketing dollars are also well spent. If the marketing was successful there, they can probably just copy whatever worked there and add more money to it, and it would probably work here as well.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah.
So it's like Hollywood wants to mitigate risk as much as possible. This is like their wet dream. It's like they can literally just do a movie again, but like sell it to a different audience that they don't really know the better.
Right.
So yeah. But in terms of the movie, I mean, it depends. Like we talked about The Departed and Infernal Affairs, which I thought was very interesting because they are both extremely different movies. By extremely different directors and different styles, and I was very happy to see Infernal Affairs remade in that sense. I don't know what the Chris Rock directed version of what's it called is going to
Another
be.
round.
Another Round is going to be as interesting, but we'll see. I don't
Well, I
know.
mean, when it comes out, if you haven't already seen Another Round, I'm gonna force you to see it by the time the Chris Rock one comes out, because it is like one of my favorite movies from honestly, from this decade. Like, I love that movie a lot.
Yeah, I'm, and it's cool. Sometimes it's cool to see things interpreted in like an American, or it highlights the differences between American filmmaking and other cultures, even just like themes and stuff. I remember this is a very weird detour, but Kung Fu Panda 2, and three is made by an Asian director, and it features much more Asian themes than the first Kung Fu Panda, which is directed by two Americans. And it's interesting. I never thought of it that way, but there's a lot of like hero's journey is very big in America, and if we forget that, and it's cool to see how you can interpret these in different cultures. So yeah.
Well, and actually, with the example of The Departed and Infernal Affairs, I probably it's been so long, I gotta watch both of them again. I remember I really liked Infernal Affairs more because it was more interesting to me. But like, it's interesting how the original Infernal Affairs, I thought there were a lot of like there were a lot of Buddhist themes in there, which obviously do
For sure,
not
yeah.
carry over into The Departed, which is like it's not a standard mafia movie. It's much more than that, but it is like a mafia movie. It kind of tear even though they both tackle the same thing and have at least many of the same themes, they do like they are like entirely different animals. You could watch The Departed and think it was entirely original, probably even after watching Infernal Affairs.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's true. Like, I mean, I think the biggest, and I think we'll see. I mean, a similar thing is brought up in this movie, where Americans seem to feel the need for they like a complete ending. You know, they like to have things wrapped up. And The Departed, Mark Wahlberg has to die for a sense of justice to be had. All right, not Mark. Mark Wahlberg has to kill Matt Damon for a sense of justice to be had. Whereas in Infernal Affairs, like you said, it's a lot of potentially Buddhist themes, and like in Asian culture, you know, integrity is much bigger than it is in America. So just living with the fact that you're living a lie is punishment enough, is more punishment than dying in that cultural interpretation. So yeah. And I guess this is very different. This is a Danish movie, not Buddhist at all. So, but yeah.
Although it also is going to be we watched both versions of it for this, and I think that it is like I think that introing this with talking about Infernal Affairs and The Departed is going to be a really interesting parallel to this movie, because I think that it handles the themes that are in this movie in a similar way, like the American Speak No Evil that we're about to talk about, very different in important ways from the Danish one, although it mirrors almost everything. Like, I mean, I'm about to ask you to describe the plot of Speak No Evil, the American one, but the Danish one, the plot is exactly the same with one or two very small key differences that are going to be spoilers that we'll get into when we get there. But like,
Yeah, in the
the
third act.
plots are almost beat for beat the same.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that as like a bad thing, though. I don't know.
No,
It
for
didn't bother
sure.
me personally. But yeah, so the American version, we have a family who is on vacation, and they are basically become friends with another family who are, I believe, are actually, I don't know where they live. I can't
So,
remember.
in the American version, the
They're
protagonist
British,
family,
right?
I'll say, are American, and they meet a British family in
Right, right,
Italy. Maybe a Scottish family, but in any case, from the British Isles. In the Danish version, it's a Dutch family.
Yeah. So yeah, they I think, well, let me look at the character names. The dad of the family, the main family, who's played
Played by
by
Scoot McNairy.
Scoot McNairy, really wants to go because I think he really liked the other dad, Patty, played by James McAvoy. McAvoy? Is it
I always say McAvoy, but I don't know which is
McAvoy? Not
correct.
that sounds right, yeah. So and they don't really know them, but I think I don't think he has a job in London, and he's feeling a little depressed. So they go out to the country for a weekend just to get away from it all, him and his family. And they kind of get there, and things just kind of start to slowly feel off about this other family. And also at the same time, the Dalton family, the main family, are kind of dealing with their own issues in terms of their daughter is an extremely anxious person who can't be away from her stuffed bunny from any period of time. And the Daltons have some marital issues, essentially. So they are trying to navigate these issues while also dealing with this other weird family that they are feel kind of stuck with for this long weekend, I think.
Right. And, like, I feel like a very important part of this, because it's one of the themes, is, like, Ben Dalton, most of the reason that he wants to visit and then that they stay even after things get a little weird is, I may be confusing the two movies here at this point, but basically Patty suggests things to him. He'll suggest like, oh, you want to do this, right? Or, right. You know, he'll get him, he'll like forwardly, but politely ask him to do things, and it would be impolite to refuse. So Ben right. and Louise just sort of kind of go, they just kind of go along with things more than they maybe should.
Right. Which I think is a situation everyone has been in.
Everyone could at least right. relate to it a little bit. I think at this movie takes it to an extreme, but like,
for sure. Yeah.
Both movies start with this great opening scene of Ben and Louise hanging out by the pool, and Patty walks into frame and says, hey, are you using that chair? Where Ben clearly has all of his stuff on the chair. And he's like, no, you can take it. And so Patty just takes the chair away.
Right.
And like, yes, he was using the chair, but also his use of the chair was not that important if someone else needs it. And then I think what's really brilliant about at least the American version, because that's the one that's fresh in my mind, is Patty takes the chair over to his family and doesn't use it.
Right. Yeah, I think that is in the Danish version too.
A version of it is in the Danish version, yeah.
Yeah, thoughts? Queries?
So we're going to talk about, I think it was really good for us to start by talking about Another Round, and also by talking about the Departed and Infernal Affairs, because I think this movie is different from the Danish one in ways maybe a little more subtle than Infernal. Well, maybe I don't know. Infernal Affairs and the Departed deviate quite a bit, but like they still tackle the same thing with different themes. And I think that that's an interesting comparison here. But also, I would apply what I was talking about with Another Round to this movie. I don't think that the themes of the Danish movie come across properly in the American remake. Like, if we look back at the Danish movie, it's very much about, and we'll talk about this as we talk about more of the movie, it's very much about, like, people going along with things to a degree that just seems increasingly acceptable. It always seems acceptable, even if it gets increasingly like weird, but for us, the viewers, but it like, there's a line at the end that hits very differently in both movies. And essentially like this movie in the Danish version, it's really about that, like, I guess European politeness. And not, I don't want to say that is a specifically European thing, because I think that as people on this continent in North America, we've all experienced that same kind of feeling as well. But I don't think that it comes across in the American one as much. The American one to me feels like a story about a spooky family that's evil, where the Danish one to me, obviously they are also a spooky family that's evil, but they feel to me like a very pushy, but like a very pushy family that it exploits politeness specifically, which to me is not the, even though that's the letter of what is happening in the American movie, I don't think it's the same. Like it doesn't come across the same to me.
Yeah. Well, I think there's cause apparently like that's a very big thing in Danish culture where they're overly polite. I mean, I think that also maybe applies to, at least Vancouver culture, especially.
One thing I want to say, I don't think that is uniquely European. I just don't that this director, like, I don't think that James Watkins conveys that same emotion.
No, it's definitely, I mean, there are hints of it for sure, but Like I was just saying that in terms of like I think like that those are emotions, yeah, that anyone can like kind of relate to. I think the American version does choose more American concepts that are big right now, and you know, like it seems to focus more on having control of your family, being a man.
Right.
That was a very big theme in this, and you know, that's like as we've seen with a lot of like the rise of, I'd say, incel culture and huge celebrities that are commenting on this. And there's just a lot of media challenging what is a man, male stereotypes, and women, you know, in this movie. So the father of the family, Ben Dalton. I mean, first of all, this is a small spoiler. He's having a lot of troubles with his wife. His wife's not really attracted to him, I think. He can't get his daughter to do what he tells her. Or she's an anxious mess, and he feels like very out of control of that. He doesn't have a job. He had moved his family to London, I think, to get a job. That was the reason they moved, and he still can't get a job. So a big part of that and him looking at Patty is he's projecting through him in terms of Patty is, he sees Patty as truly free. He's a man, he's buff. He looks like James McAvoy like his family, like he loves, like his wife is very attracted to him and he's attracted to his wife. And he seems to be doing very well for himself. So I think that element is more at play here. Whereas in the Danish version, I'd say there is an element of control that is being lacked by the father character, but it's more like, I'm so tired of my day-to-day life. It's not so much he wants to be more like the other family. It's more like, I want to escape everything, essentially. Mm-hmm. He wants to find a way to escape everything. And this trip is a way of trying to do that, because he's just tired. He's bored and tired of his midlife crisis, essentially. So, yeah.
Yeah, and actually, you pointing that out, I remember reading bits and pieces of interviews with James McAvoy about this, where he specifically talks, and maybe I do specify that I've read bits and pieces, so it's possible that like this is actually not a thing that James McAvoy has said, and that maybe headlines have interpreted into what he said, but he specifically talks about like Patty being influenced by like an Andrew Tate type character. So he is very much playing this up as like the themes of toxic masculinity are much more front and center here, where like in the Danish one, like you were saying, I'm not gonna say they're not there, but also that just didn't come to mind at all. I thought of like a completely different main thesis statement of that movie. And like, yes, you do have that. Who is the person in the main character? The Patty character, Patrick, in the Danish one. He does represent toxic masculinity, but it's also not really his thing. Like, his thing is that he's manipulative, and he's manipulative in a very specific way.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because there is that element of playing into the politeness of it. I'd say there's the, in a way though, there's like an angle of like, it's almost like he's challenging Ben to stand up for his family. You know, he's kind of intentionally messing with his wife, like feeding her meat, even though he knows she's vegetarian or pescatarian. He is being very touchy with his wife, and he knows that Ben is having marital problems. There was something else with the kid too. I think making his child do stuff and making Ben feel less in control of his family, you know?
Yeah, I guess like the reason that Ben wouldn't stand up for his family is like very slightly different, because like it's still similar in both. He's like, isn't in control as, I guess, the man of the house. But in the American version, it's very explicitly like a masculinity thing, where it's not there in Danish. It's like more of a cultural thing. Because I think in the Danish one, Louise is also a little more susceptible to, you know, the manipulation than Louise is in the American one. In both versions, Louise is the first in line to be like, Louise being Ben's wife, is the first in line to be like, I'm not comfortable, let's leave. But in both, right. But like, in both versions, she ultimately sticks around. She is a little less happy about it, actually significantly less happy about it in the American version, where she's actively will like say to Patty's face, like, I don't like how you guys have been treating us. Where in the Danish one, she's much, much more resistant to doing that.
I think that's kind of interchangeable. The Danish one, like, there's that point where they were trying to leave and then they come back for the bunny, quote unquote. Mm. And in the Danish version, the wife actually is quite direct in everything that made her feel uncomfortable while she was there. But they stay more out of a looking for a way to be polite, I'd say. Whereas the American version, there was much more of a, it was more like, it wasn't so much like they were worried they would be rude. It was like they felt bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like they add a lot more backstory to both families, where we also see with like the villainous family that the dad, James McAvoy, talks more about his youth where he was abused a lot, or his wife talks about how she wanted to have a daughter, but the daughter died or missed. She miscarried or something a couple times.
Either a miscarriage,
I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I feel like I'm talking too much about the Danish version.
Yeah,
we keep going back and forth.
I mean, for what it's worth, we did say we were going to talk about both, but like, yeah, I think we should talk about the American one a little bit.
Yeah, I feel bad. I'm confusing myself too. But yeah, so I think I do like those themes a lot. And I like the backstory they added with the whole, like, she didn't cheat on him, or no, she kind of cheated on him with, she was sexting someone else. We don't know who it is. So there is this added subplot of Ben trying to fight for his masculinity. He wants to win his wife back. He wants the job. He wants to stand up for his family, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, we kind of see throughout the movie that he's getting a lot of chances to do that. And he's kind of faltering every time, you know, because there's also he wants to be liked by Patty. So he has this kind of internal conflict where there's someone he wants the respect of, and he'd rather agree with him than his family, because to agree with him means he gets to be closer to that role model person, whereas his family he might see as something holding him back, you know.
Well, and I mean, like, if you think about it, like, when his options are, his wife says, I don't want to be here anymore, let's go home, and Patty says something, like, he can go home, and that would be standing up for his family. That would be, like, making his wife happy in that moment, and actually would be a good opportunity to sort of fix or at least address that situation. But doing something new with Patty is doing something new. And so he's like not going back to this life that he thinks kind of sucks, which is why they're there in the first place. So,
right,
you know,
yeah.
I guess it's tough when your opportunities to stand up to your family are also your opportunities to do something new and cool. So,
for sure, yeah.
You know,
similarly, kind of, it's almost a midlife crisis moment.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and so I like that. I do wish there was more of an arc to it. Like, I feel like once the twist, it's not really a twist. I think everyone knew it was coming.
Yeah, once the evil family reveals themselves to be evil.
Yeah, which we already really knew they were evil. There isn't, we don't get to see too much of Ben proving himself. You know, I would have liked to see past the ending at, like, their life back home. You know, maybe he's trying something new. Maybe he got a job. I don't know. Like, something to kind of see that. Because I was very invested in this version. I was very interested in their character arcs, which I liked.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the daughter. I wanted to, like, I think this experience kind of forced her to not be as anxious as she used to be at the start of the movie. That's a really cool arc. I wish I got to see more of kind of the final version of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And just in general, I wish I liked this family more. I think there was a lot of stuff that, like, frustrated me about them, which is kind of the point of the movie. But I would have liked to see some moments where I'm like, oh yeah, so Ben's a good guy. He's just going through something, you know?
Yeah.
Or
just a
like,
bit of a
oh,
pushover.
Right. Or it's like, oh, his wife cheated on him, but like she has great chemistry with him. And like, you know, it would have like something to draw me in more and really root for them. Yeah. Would have been like something they could have improved on in this movie. Cause I think James McAvoy, unfortunately, just like stole every scene, to be quite yeah. frank with you. He was all over that screen in a very good way. But the other actors, I feel like, didn't get their chance to step up because of that.
And one thing I do, like, you keep saying this, and it is true, but I want to just clarify, his wife cheating on him, Ben's wife cheating on him in this movie, there's, at least within the text of the movie, it's not concretely stated that she actually cheated on him. It's like vaguely implied, but it is specifically stated that she had a dick pic on her phone from someone else. So like the extent of that, no, like obviously I get it, like I understand the implication of that, but the extent of that is like that's the extent of it, and the actual implications of that are like not really elaborated on. I always interpreted it, because of how defensive she got about that, I interpreted it as a coworker who thought there was something going on with him and his work wife got a little too eager. That's the way that I interpreted it. And like, I could be being far too charitable. However, it's not like that's an invalid interpretation. The cheating in this is not explicit enough. It's not explicit beyond like the bare minimum it needs to be to give them a marital conflict.
Right. Well, that's all we really need, because it's more about, we need to see how Ben feels about it. You know, it's almost better that we don't know, because now we're kind of like, so is Ben staying with her because he's a pushover to his wife too? Or is he staying because, and that kind of feeds into the theme of like, so like not only is he quote unquote man enough to protect his family, but is he man enough to stand up for himself against his wife and his child, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, his wife potentially might have cheated on him. I think the big thing to him is he doesn't trust her, you know, anymore. And same thing with the daughter, where the daughter is like, I think she's like 12 in this.
About like, that, yeah.
That's really not good for his child to be in that state of, like, I think there's a scene where she realizes she doesn't have her bunny, and she realizes she might never get her bunny back. And she starts scratching her arms, implying that she very possibly might start, you know, self-mutilating if she does not get her bunny back. So he's in a very tough position as a father in this movie. And not to say he's like a great guy either, but you know, that's a big thing that plays into it. And yeah, I just, you know, something that, like, especially for, like, they give us a lot of, the ending is very much more, it's more of a blockbuster feel to it, you know? And it would have been nice to have, like, maybe a cheer moment for Ben, where we're like, yeah, like, finally, he did something. He's fulfilling what he wanted to do. We don't really get that moment.
Yeah, I couldn't remember one. I was about to ask.
There's sort of one where he falls down to pick up a ladder. But that's all he really does in the final act. I think they could have used that to like I don't know. I like, obviously it's a horror movie, so I guess like having them end a perfect family maybe isn't like entirely what they want. But I really, really like that. Like, it would have felt very Spielberg to have like this enemy family be the reason that they come together as a family, you know?
And they almost do that, because like, at the very end, and this is a very, very light spoiler, at the very end, they basically adopt a child, like this abused child of Patty's.
Yeah. So yeah, like, I do like that. Some of those aspects. Also, what did you think about, I think the tricky thing here is that I think we both knew what was going to happen. Like, family was evil. It's very obvious. How do you feel about the tension rising in this, you know, like, the continuous, like, small things that make them want to run away. Like, how did you feel about the second act escalation?
I mean, I don't hate it. I think, like, to me, the real egregious part, the part that I actually don't like, is the third act. So like once the family is revealed, that's where I lose a lot of interest. But like before that, I don't think that, I think the tension was fine. I think it was maybe a little, I don't know. There were bits and pieces where they were maybe overly explicit. Like there's a whole subplot about figuring out the past of what this evil family has done to the other families before. And like, that is in the original too. It's fine to be there, but it's like, I don't know. It feels a little corny. I don't dislike it. I just don't care that much about it. It's like, oh no, the evil family is secretly evil. Crazy.
Yeah. So you're saying it's like, we kind of knew already. Why are we spending so much time pretending like we don't know, you know?
Yeah. And like, not in a really bad way, because I understand that the movie kind of, I'm not going to say it necessarily needs that, but it's not like it's out of place in the movie. It's just like, yeah, okay, let's move on to the next part.
Right. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. I don't know. I think more character moments interspersed would have helped with this. It does feel, to me, it felt a little tiring to see like, these things happen and then they're just okay with it over and over again, or they find a reason to be okay with it, which again is the point of the movie. But I think like if you were interspersing it with more scenes of maybe the family getting along, or like him and his wife getting along, like it would have played a little better. But
I do think that like, I think I mentioned this earlier, this is basically beat for beat the Danish movie. And I think that to some degree, that is a bit of a mistake. Because, especially in that second act, in the Danish movie, when they keep finding reasons to just be okay with things, it kind of works, because you, like, the whole family is trying to find reasons. This is not a specifically, Ben problem. This is a problem that the whole family deals with, just Ben is kind of the main character, so he's the main perspective. But in this movie, where in the American version, where the focus is sort of more on that toxic masculinity, at any point, if Ben just echoes Louise and is like, no, I don't like this either, we should just leave, the whole thing falls apart. It really is more on like him to find those reasons to stick around, because Louise is going to nominally find them, but mostly just to go along with Ben, because the themes of the movie are much more in line with making, you know, with Ben's role as the man of the house being more important. And so I think that in that second act, the second act doesn't bother me that much, but I think that the more I think about it, like the reason the second act to me, when I'm describing it, is like, yeah, I know this, let's hurry it along, is because when they go back, when they every time find a reason to go back and be okay with whatever new bullshit Patty's come up with, it's like, it feels more contrived, because it's not like a conscious effort of the entire family to be like, no, we must do what's right. It's like, we said we were going to be here for a week, so fine, we'll be here for another couple of days.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's because sometimes I'm just like, because again, this is like a very, we've all been in this kind of position. I wonder like, how would I react, you know, in that scenario too? I genuinely don't know, you know, it's easy to be like, it's so obvious, but like, we're watching a horror movie. I think like part of us is like inclined to believe that they are evil. If you're just visiting someone, your first thought is very rarely they're about to murder. If someone's off, you know.
I feel like James McAvoy is way more obviously evil than what's the guy's name? Fedja Van Hoot as Patrick in the Danish version. And that's, I guess, that's the weird part for me, is because I think that James McAvoy, you know, by the time we get into that second act, it's like, bro, just leave. And in the Danish one, you also kind of think that, but where I'm putting myself into that situation, it's like, yeah, but if he guilt tripped me that hard into staying, I might be like, okay. And when James McAvoy guilt trips you that hard into staying, it's like, yeah, but bro, you are evil, so I think I'm going to leave.
Right. Yeah, there is a couple, like, you know, like the sleeping naked with your daughter feels like a pretty big, like, no.
Yeah.
I think no matter the reason, like, maybe, yeah, like, sure, the reason they gave in the movie was very good. Like probably the only good excuse you could conceivably think of for that.
Right.
Not, but even that was like a huge stretch for what is okay, which is that is not okay in any context.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think there's an element of like, you do feel frustrated, but.
But I think that's the case for me of like, this is where I see like the comparison to The Departed, because The Departed, the themes of The Departed are very different from the themes of Infernal Affairs, even if for the most part it is very, very similar in like what actually happens. But like in The Departed, because those themes are different, the story has to unfold in a different way. And that's where I think like, if this movie, when I'm thinking back on these two movies, Speak No Evil and I guess also Speak No Evil, when I'm thinking back on these two movies, the themes of that original one are politeness. And like, I think it's great in portraying that. The themes of this one, this new one, this English one, are, I much more see the theme of toxic masculinity. And I think that the story needs to change at least a little bit to accommodate that. Like, I think it would have been a lot easier to buy that they continue to stay in this house of these people who are clearly evil if Ben and Patty had bonded like way more, because Ben clearly looks up to Patty, clearly wants to be Patty. And yet, you know, they still do, they feel distant in a way that ultimately, I guess they have to, if Patty's never going to fully accept him. But Ben, like, in that moment where him and his wife are confronting him about, are confronting Patty about sleeping naked with their daughter, it doesn't feel, I don't get that Ben would be like, no, actually, you know what? This is actually kind of a pro move on his part. We should stick around. Like, I don't get that. I don't get that at all.
Oh, yeah. That's like, there's a difference between like,
there's a difference between, like, we said we were going to do this, and so I guess since it's just one more day, fine. And with that, with the entire movie building up to that exact, like, to that exact conversation, then you have repeatedly, like, done shit to my family, and we should probably leave, but we're not gonna, because we're gonna give you one more chance.
Right, yeah.
Like, the feeling is a little different.
I think, like, like, maybe the movie would have played a little better if they knew the family more. Like, there's this part where, like, even this family is self-aware that, like, we don't know them very well. Like, so, like, there's part of you that's kind of like, so you're okay with all this and you don't know them very well. Like, there's no red flags going on. Whereas, like, you know, like, it might have been more interesting if there was maybe some more of a history between them.
Even like a distant history, like, you know, they went to Italy and that's where they actually met. But maybe Ben had like looked up Patty a little more and like knew a little more about him. And he was like, although I guess you probably couldn't have looked up Patty a little more, because if you could have, you would have immediately been able to, if that was a thing that was possible, you would have immediately seen that he's a very bad guy. So there's probably no information about him to look up.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's one of those movies, like, I really liked watching it personally. I think thinking back, though, it's like, some of those issues of this kind of repetitiveness of that give and tug without much foundation behind it in terms of character building and great scenes and stuff, stop the second act from being all it could be. I mean, I guess the third act, too. I will say, like, the performances by... the kids don't really get much to do. I mean, literally one of the kids is like missing a tongue.
Yeah.
So it really doesn't get anything to do. Great physical performance.
Also, his name is Ant. Why? I was wondering that. Like, they keep calling him Ant, and I'm like, that's not a name. Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, there's I must be hearing this wrong.
Right.
And nope, it's just Ant. Just such a weird name.
But yeah, James McAvoy, Eiling Franciosi, both great. I thought they had great chemistry too. I thought they kind of portray this, like, they're obviously, something is off and they're a little weird, but like, they're charismatic weird. That makes sense. Like,
Yeah.
They're kind of like, they seem kind of cool, but also weird. But like, I could see why, like, you might want to hang out with them, maybe. I wouldn't, but.
Yeah.
And then Mackenzie Davis and Scoot McNairy. I thought both did solid jobs. I guess I wish there was a little more to their characters.
I'd agree.
Like, again, like, Scoot, Ben Dalton, Scoot McNairy felt very one note in this movie. I wish we got more from him. And I was kind of rooting for him to do something. But yeah, it's so, you know, there's, but these, like, they're not huge things. This is probably one of the better, like, horror movies I've seen this year, for sure. If not, like, the best one, in my opinion.
I mean, James McAvoy is excellent. Well, I mean, you've already said this, but, like, I do want to just highlight, he's really excellent in this.
Like, if I would be really happy if he got he never will get nominated for this, but I'd be very happy if he did.
Well, I mean, he's no Dan Stevens in Cuckoo, but, you know.
Oh, I still have to see.
Dan Stevens in Cuckoo is, like, one of my favorite performances of the year so far.
Oh, sick.
But I guess what I do want to ask about, what do you think of the ending of this?
Yeah, I liked it. I think, like, again, there's a couple things that I like. I wish there's more build up to it, but I think a lot of what the movie needed happened in the third act, you know? Like, we had stuff happening. I liked having the family work together. In some ways, I wish it was better done, but they did. I liked how it wasn't a complete role reversal. Like, Mackenzie Davis's character throughout the movie is the one that is saying, like, we should leave. Like, she's obviously the one that is the action taker in the family. She still fulfills that role in the third act, and I like that. It didn't feel like we had this huge, like, okay, like, I've become a man now, I'm gonna take on the whole family myself, you know? Like, they're still the same characters, just like slight differences. They're both more protective over their daughter. They're more in control of what they want to do, and I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked how, you know, there's that manipulation of, like, that scene where they know what's coming. Like, the family is evil. They're just kind of hoping that they will be let go.
Right.
Which was interesting. Like, I love seeing that scene where James McAvoy is, like, very obviously evil. And he's, like, saying, like, climb this ladder to get your rabbit. And you're, like, the whole time you're, like, oh, he's going to die. Like, there's no way he gets out of this. And there's just so much tension in those moments. Way more than earlier in the movie. And I think that's where, like, because it's like we got this weird thing out of the way where it's like they don't know the family's evil, but we do. Because, like, it feels a little tensionless where it's like now it's like we are invested because they know what we know, so we can more accurately feel how they feel, which is that how would you react when you know they're about to kill you, but, like, do you say something? do you take action, or you just kind of, like, pretend you don't know and hope they let you leave? Like, it's a very interesting situation to be in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought a lot of the action set pieces were pretty well done too. Like using the house was a great set piece. There's actually some fun slightly comedic moments that I liked. Very, like, there's a scene where he tries to throw a Molotov and it just kind of rolls down onto the ground and it actually does something useful, but, like,
yeah,
but, like, that was really funny. And I like how there is this moral, like, them, the James McAvoy taking advantage of the fact that he knows that they won't leave. If someone's in trouble, they won't leave them behind. Which, again, I feel like that's a very American trait, at least that I've seen in movies. You know, that's a very common theme. I don't know if it's a trait of American people.
Yeah, I was going to say European people famously leave everyone behind.
No, well, like, I mean, okay, we'll talk about
the I do see what you're saying, though. Yeah.
Yeah, there's this sense of, like, do the right thing heroism that we don't, that is a very American thing in movies. And I thought those played very well. And that's probably my favorite part of the movie, the whole third act, because it was like, okay, like, we know, everyone knows what's happening now. We can finally just, like, have fun with this.
Right.
And yeah. I like how it has a good ending, to be quite honest. I appreciate that. I guess I was raised on American movies, so that's something I've grown to love personally. So yeah.
Well, I do like that you pointed out the ladder scene, because I really like that ladder scene. I think that's a very I think that's very cool. Like once they know what we know and they can't like pretend they don't know anymore, and now they have to, you know, again, like you were saying, how would you react in that situation? That's cool. That's interesting. The rest of the third act is so boring to me, dude.
No.
I don't know. We're probably going to talk about some big action movie in like a month, and I'm going to say the exact opposite of this, but like big action set pieces at the end lose me so fast. Not all the time, but like a lot of the time. And in this one, especially, like once it becomes a shootout in a house, I'm like, okay.
It wasn't really a shootout though. That's the thing. Like they didn't, I loved how creative they had to be with, you know, that one scene where they set up this idea of having the breathing app with the daughter, and then they use that to trick someone. That was genius. That was really cool and a great way of, like, again, tying some things we set up earlier into the third act. Mm-hmm. And same thing, like, the other ladder scene with – I really liked how that was probably the most human moment of the movie, where the dad, I think the dad at this point realizes he's useless. he doesn't know what he's doing, but he sees that they need that ladder to get down. And he knows, like, well, I may not be a quick thinker. I'm not very good in a pinch and I'm not very smart, but what I can do is I can take the fall for my family.
Literally.
Yeah. And you know, I was saying earlier that I wish we got more of a cheering moment. In a way though, I kind of like how for such an unrealistic third act, that was a very realistic human moment of like, like kind of admitting to yourself that like anyone can take that fall, you know, but he took it because like, he knew that he was useless.
Well, it's kind of funny really too, because that. Like you're saying anyone can take that fall, but nobody would, because it's a really stupid thing to do. And even in the moment, his wife is like not saying, but looking at him like, this is a really stupid thing to do. What are you doing? And then he takes the fall, and it does feel like brave of him. It is a big moment, but it's also like, yeah, of course you broke your leg, dude. You took a fall that was going to make you break your leg. Obviously, it didn't work out. What are you doing? But then like,
what else could they have done? I think,
yeah. Okay. It didn't work out is an exaggeration, because it absolutely did. It is what saved them.
Right.
But you know, I like that. It's like, he's about to do something stupid. Everyone knows it's stupid. He knows it's stupid and he does it anyway.
He does it anyway.
And like, it is a human moment. It is a like interesting little human moment.
Yeah. And I think that's like, thinking more about it, I think it is a cool inversion of that toxic masculinity idea of like, in my opinion, that was a very masculine thing to do, which is, or like, it's just a good person thing to do. I hate using masculine to like, but like, it's, he, in his opinion, he needed to be more like James McAvoy to protect his family. He needed to be strong. And in this case, he had to be weak, which is to literally fall down a house to protect his family. And I thought that was a cool inversion on that theme. I kind of see what you mean. I think like for a horror movie, it is very, it might be like inconsistent with what you expect, or like, what is more realistic and more horrifying in this scenario.
The more I think about it, the more I think my issue with this movie is how slavish it is to the original, because like, it's not. This movie takes on very different themes. It has a very different, I mean, we've already talked about it. Like the original movie is not really about toxic masculinity. Like you can read it in there, but why? Because you'd probably be wrong. Like it's not really there. And this movie, like it very much is there. And I think that to get that theme across better, it should not have stuck as beat by beat to this movie, to the original as it did, because there's one line that I think hits so hard in the original. Like I knew it was coming and it was a jaw dropping moment for me. In the original movie, they ask like the Danish family asks the other family, you know, why are you doing this? Or why did you do this? And the Dutch family goes, because you let us. And then that's basically the end of the movie. After that, like there's the horror ending and it's very, very bleak. And that's basically it. Like, there's like 2 minutes left after they say that line. In this movie, that exact same exchange happens. Because like the American family says, "Why did you do all this to us?" And James McAvoy goes, "Because you let us." And it doesn't make any goddamn sense. Because no, they didn't, really. Like, they were constantly like, I guess technically they ended up sort of being pushed around, but like, they were very clear that they were uncomfortable at every moment. And in the European movie, like, the whole point is that they can't let on that they're uncomfortable. In fact, in their own heads, they're like, no, we can't be uncomfortable with this, because the most polite thing to do would be to just go along with it. And so, like, it's a big moment at the very end when they're like, oh shit, yeah, we did let this all happen to us. And here it's like, well, they didn't really let it happen to them. I mean, I guess they kind of did, because they ended up being the weaker couple, but like, it doesn't hit the same. And so that's where I'm like, and I think that is an example of what I'm saying. Like, this is too slavish to the original. That line in the American remake doesn't make sense. And it doesn't need to be there, frankly. Like, you get to that ending without that line. It's fine. It's just like an iconic line. You don't need it.
I'm trying to gather my thoughts. I think I disagree. So first of all, I think if I saw this all the time, it'd be kind of tiring. But I actually, in this specific situation, really appreciated how a lot of these scenes were mostly the same, because there were these subtle differences that felt very American or very European. You know, it was cool to see, like, for example, in I'd say the dancing scene, the chicken dance or whatever it's called, like, in the Danish version, the wife is very obviously like, she's like traumatized by this. She goes outside crying, but she still goes back in. I'm not entirely sure. I guess it's again, like, cause you're trying to be nice, polite, whatever. And then in the American version, the wife is very much like, she's also not okay with it, but she's much more forward with what she's saying. And both situations start out very similarly, but are resolved in very different ways, you know? Mm-hmm. So I appreciate, like, again, like, if this was every remake, I'd be like, well, this is just lazy filmmaking. And in this case, like, maybe it is kind of lazy. But for me personally, I enjoyed that. Just those little contextual changes. And for that line, I think the difference is that I think it still applies in the American version. The Danish one, I think it hits more because the whole movie needs that line to hit. That the whole movie doesn't work unless you say that line, almost, you know? Mm-hmm. Whereas in the American version, like, it's not, I wouldn't say they say it in the same way. It's more of a throwaway line. And like, you could say, like, well, why are you using the line if like it's not going to have the same impact? But I'd say they did still let them do what they did in like an American way, you know? Like I'd say, like, just because they were mad about things and they fought about things doesn't mean they still didn't let it happen to them. You know, the James McAvoy gave them plenty of chances to leave. He didn't stop them anywhere near as much as the Danish family was stopped. But you could say, what are the American Louise and Ben Dalton were more, forward in saying they disagree with things, but they still stayed, which in some ways is even more interesting, because it's like so you were very open about disagreeing, but you still stayed. Why would you stay? And because there was much more of that guilt factor into it, in terms of like, they felt bad that they lost their daughter. I think they felt bad for the kid more in this version. And yeah, so I agree with you that like that line doesn't hit anywhere close to as like much as the Danish version, but I don't think it's supposed to. I see it as more of just like an Easter egg almost to the Danish fair version enough. Because they do kind of they could have left when the bunny was left there. They could have left. They still didn't. Mm. And why? Because they let them guilt them into staying. You know,
Yeah, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. I see what you mean too. So I respect that. I see, like, when you were talking about that, it makes me think of, like, what am I trying to say? I don't know why. I was thinking, like, superhero movies and Easter eggs, and it's like, why would you have that there? Doesn't mean anything. Fair enough. Just, this is just a shitty cameo or reference. And I get that point too, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... You're not wrong. I see what you're saying. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I just like the themes of the Danish one better, ultimately.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a taste thing. I love both of them. I think the Danish one is more of a... It feels like less of a movie, though, and more of like a... Almost like a PSA. It's like the director very much was like, I want to show you why agreeing with everything is horrible.
Yeah.
And this is what, like, this is like that to the extreme. The American version is much more of a complete package. There are lots of different themes, more character building, more of a climax. But yeah, I think I've said all I want to about the American version, so we can talk about the Danish one if you want.
Well,
no.
It reminds me, you know, thinking back on this movie, reminds me of a time I was in Germany and I was on a train, and it was an overnight train, and I had a compartment, like not the full compartment, but I had like a place in a compartment. And I went to that compartment, and there was some shithead guy there with his like 2-year-old kid, and he had spread an entire blanket across the entire and across the whole compartment and put his kid right in the center of it. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm supposed to be in this compartment, so, like, can I sit down? And he's like, yeah, yeah, sure, you're just right there next to the window. And I'm like, okay, well, then I'll just shuffle in. And he's like, are you insane? You're going to go through my kid's blanket? You can't do that. Mm-hmm. No, you're right next to the window. You can just go right to the window. And I'm like, yeah, but no human being can go that far without just, you know, walking there. And he's like, well, you're going to have to figure out a way. And so I, like... got on one foot and stretched my leg as far as I could, and he swatted it out of the air. He's like, are you insane? You've got boots on. You're going to get my kid's blanket dirty. And I'm like, dude, what is your problem? What are we doing right now? What's going on? And I didn't sleep in the place. I had to stay up for the next 7 hours in the middle of the night because I could not get into this compartment. Mm. And like, you know, I guess there are many things I could have done. I could have just been like, nah, dude, I'm sleeping here. Like I'll get under that blanket if I have to. I'm gonna be in this compartment, and I didn't. Like I was just like, okay, well, I guess there is nothing I can do if he's gonna be very rude. I have to take the high ground here. So because there's no other way, there's no other option. I just couldn't conceive of another option. So I just like stayed up the entire night instead and did not sleep on this train and was very pissy about it. For several years, apparently, because I still remember it.
Still thinking about it. Yeah. Yeah, no, I like, the Danish version made me think a lot more, you know? It makes you think of, like, so what is this line between politeness? Because obviously there's nothing wrong with being a nice person. And there's nothing wrong with letting things go and being forgiving. So what is that line of what's too far? I think the Danish one kind of borders on parody to make that point. I don't know if it makes it worse for that, but it definitely takes it to an extreme to make you think about it, in my opinion. And what was I going to say? I think... I don't know. What do you think? Like...
Well,
there's a couple moments in the Danish movie where it almost, you could say they're in shock, but it really feels unrealistic to literally like watch your like, you know, daughter be taken away from you and not really fight about it. You know what I mean? It's stuff like that. That was like, it's like a little like, okay, like that's a lot. See, but also I'm like, if I was in that position, maybe I would also freeze.
See, like at that, I feel like that particular scene that you're talking about comes late enough at the point where it's like at that point, like I don't think anything they're doing anymore is necessarily out of politeness. I think at that point they are hostages. Like up to that point.
Oh yeah, no.
Yeah. And so
but it's a part of the themes I think in the Danish movie too is letting life pass you by and not doing anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's kind of part of what the dad feels, you know. He's like, I'm just watching my life pass by. I'm eating dinner with people I don't like. I'm at a job he doesn't like, and there's nothing else to my life, you know. Mm-hmm. And we kind of see that in portrayed in that where they are like their life is literally being taken away from them, and they still feel this inaction.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think like there's an aspect too of both movies where there's a plot point, I guess, is what I should say, not an aspect. There's a plot point in both movies where it's like specifically shown that this is not the first time the evil family has done this. And I find that easier to believe in the Danish version. I find it hard to believe in both because they both go to the point of parody with it. But like in the Danish version, the first time that you're like, the first time that it feels like they are being forced into some way of thinking or some way of acting is when they are literally taken hostage and now they have no other options. Where mm-hmm. with the American version, yes, they let themselves get walked all over, but also James McAvoy is a constantly imposing presence, like literally physically. At any point, you know, at certain points, if you told me that your interpretation of a scene was they don't want to go away because they're afraid James McAvoy is going to punch him really hard, I'd get it. I'd be like, yeah, that actually makes sense. Where like, you never get that particular sense of danger from the Danish family. They like push it a little bit further until, you know, they basically trap them, like, I guess, trapdoor spiders or something. Where in the American version, like, I find it more difficult to believe that this family has done this however many countless times, because all it takes is one family actually standing up for themselves to unravel the whole thing. And I guess that's all it takes in the Danish version too, except that the way that the family is manipulative in the Danish version to me is a lot more, it's a lot easier for me to buy that, like, they could lull their guests into a sense of security. I never felt a sense of security in the like American version.
I mean, I guess, yeah, okay. First of all, I personally think the American version is more realistic for that, this child swapping thing to happen. Cause they're in the middle of nowhere.
Mm.
No one's around them. No cell service, I'm guessing. A lot of different things I could be like, okay, like you feel kind of stuck here, so you would stay also.
Well, that is the same in the Danish version.
No, they live in the suburbs. Or not in the suburbs, but there's a lot of houses around them.
Not really. They are very much out in the middle of nowhere. There's one other house, and we never see that there's actually a person living in that house.
When did you watch it?
Pretty recently, like a couple of weeks ago.
Because
there's the one house that the dad tries to go to, and we never see anyone actually in that house. And then there's the neighbor, Mujeed, who, you know, he's called a neighbor, but he's also like, he's very much in on whatever's happening.
But then there's that line where it's like, everyone in the neighborhood uses Mujeed.
Yeah, but they say that in the American version too.
I don't
think they do. They say that exact same line, yeah. And the thing is, like, you don't know who the neighborhood is except for the three people they show you, including he's not Mujeed in the new one. Is he Mujeed? He is Mujeed. Yeah. Never mind.
Okay, well, agree to disagree. I truly believe there is a lot of other houses around them.
We'll disagree on this, I guess.
Right. I think also getting away felt a little easier because the Danish family, or the in the Danish version, they don't really have any weapons. they outmuscle them, I guess, but it's more out of a, they are too scared to do anything. And they know, I think part of the reason is that they know they're too scared to do anything, because it, in that version, it feels like everything was a test. They're trying to see, is this the perfect family to do this to that won't fight back? They literally, like, the guy gets out of the car at the end and he leaves his vehicle unattended with the keys inside, knowing that the Danish father wasn't going to take the vehicle. He wasn't under any threat at that point, but he knew that this family was passive enough to just let them do it. Again, I don't know if that's a realistic thing, but it's an interesting interesting way to get a point across. You know, again, it's taking that metaphor of passivity towards life to the maximum in that scenario. James McAvoy had a gun. He was armed. And we see that. He's also a hunter. So we know he has multiple guns. I think, like, so he has a pretty... And also we find out that part of their operation is stealing all their money. So they seem to have a pretty good system going there. And I could see, like, obviously it's still very unrealistic, but I could potentially see, like, some aspects of it, especially because, like, we don't see as many pictures of children being taken. In the Danish version, there's, like, I want to say 100 pictures in that room. So
they're just, like, all over the walls, aren't they?
Yeah, it's completely covered in Polaroid pictures. So, yeah, and I think there is that realism to the Danish one where, like, again, it could happen. This feels like it could happen to anyone, which I think it makes you think more about your own life. You know, you're like, because it's not even just that. It's like I think if you were on a, like, if you were on vacation and you were staying at someone's house, and if you didn't want to be there, what is stopping you from leaving? You know? Like, why would you want to stay longer if you don't like being there? And I think people do that. I've done that before, you know?
Yeah.
And that personally, I guess I like that, because I've honestly been thinking about that, like, since I watched it, like, so, thinking about, like, am I okay with a lot of the things I'm saying yes to in my life, and why, and if I don't like something, why am I still saying yes to it? I did not feel that after the American version at all. But yeah, that's because it's more of a complete package. It's more of a blockbuster. And potentially those themes don't really apply to American audiences as much. I think because we're Canadian, it might affect us more. You were raised in America, right?
Well, I have all three. Like, I was in Germany and I was in America here. Okay. So, like, I can get it from all sorts of angles, I guess.
Well, but what are your thoughts on, I guess, how do you think an American would interpret the Danish version being from America, you know, and not being open-minded towards film, if that makes sense?
Oh, man, I don't really know. That's an interesting question, because, like, the reason I watched that Danish version was because I saw a YouTube video about it, which was done by someone from Ireland. So it's like, I don't know if that's the right perspective, right? So right. I think, I don't know, because I've seen, like, some of my friends have watched that Danish movie and just thought it was silly. And, like, I watched that Danish movie and I thought it was chilling. And, like, I watched this one and I thought it was silly. And I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I know that those same friends that watched that original Speak No Evil watched this one and were like, wow, this is way better. So maybe this one just works better with the audience that didn't get the first one, I guess. Or that didn't, like, I don't want to say didn't resonate with that first one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think maybe it's not Canadian, but like my mom's Asian and she's definitely a very big component of in Asian culture is very much there's an integrity aspect, right? And I think it's implied that like if you don't like someone, like, you still have to maintain a certain amount of respect to them, you know?
Right.
Behind their backs, you're gonna shit talk them a lot, but, like, to their face, it would be extremely rude and embarrassing to do that. So I think for me, I think maybe the Danish feel the very same way. I feel like I've experienced that a lot in my life, and I still do to this day. You know, I'm still trying to figure out Like, what are my boundaries? What am I okay with in my life? So I think that's why. So maybe it's not a Canadian thing. It's more of a me thing. I do think it's a Vancouver thing, though. I notice that's very, like, there's a lot of talk about people in Vancouver being very polite, very nice, but it's a very unfriendly city. No one actually likes it. Like, it's not a very social city, you know? And I think that, you know, that idea is very, comes from that movie as well, is like, we're, even if we don't like someone, we won't be open about our dislike about something. I will say, though, the Prairie is very different. My dad's from the Prairies, very straightforward person. So maybe it's like not a Canadian thing. Maybe it's just the Vancouver things too. So yeah,
maybe. All right. I think that's all I would have to say about these movies.
Yep. Same.
All right. So, do you think people should go and see it? The one that's in theaters or the old one or both?
Yeah, I think both. I think they're both great horror movies. I honestly, Speak No Evil is probably one of my higher ranked movies this year for sure. So definite recommend.
Yeah, I didn't like the American version that much, but I do think I would recommend both of them because I really like that Danish version, and it was really interesting to see the differences between them. And, you know, the American version just didn't hit for me. I'm not convinced that it was, I don't think that necessarily means it was like really bad. I think it just like one of them hit for me really well and one of them didn't. And with other people that I have seen talk about having seen both of these movies, sometimes it is the opposite. So I think it's really interesting to like watch both of them. The Danish version is pretty easily available to rent, and the American version is in theaters right now, apparently. And I didn't get this in my theater, but apparently Americans in theaters have been seeing this trailer for like every day for the last 5 months.
I've seen it a lot too, I'm not gonna lie.
Seen it, but I haven't seen it attached to every movie the way people have talked about it.
Oh, fair enough. But yeah, that's why also the twist, very obvious, because it was very blatantly shown in the trailers.
Yeah, the trailers are like, what if James McAvoy was evil and this kid didn't have a tongue? And so when James McAvoy is evil and the kid doesn't have a tongue, it's like, it's not a twist. It's not a reveal. It's just there.
I think literally the trailer too, the kid motions, like does the scissor motion with his hands to show his tongue was cut off specifically. So it's like, okay.
That's a weird thing to include in the trailer. Like, I don't know, man. Like, it's not that big of a... Yeah, I guess it did. It's like, you know, is it more important for people to see the movie and, like, not know what's going on, or is it more important for people to see the movie? So, you know.
Right. I mean, I think even without that, it was pretty off.
It's not subtle.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, what's going to be your last word, Pierre?
Ladder.